Welcome to the Great Outdoor Show on WLVL, presented by Destination Niagara USA. To be a part of today's show, call in anytime, 716-433-1433.
And good morning, folks. Today is October 11th, and we are joined in studio with Frank Campbell. And Frank, you got somebody with you?
Yeah. I've evidently heard they were giving away free coffee over here and stopped in for a minute. None other than Bill Hiltz Jr. He stopped in for a minute, so welcome aboard, Billy.
Well, it's good to be here. Hopefully you're picking me up over there in the control room.
Oh, yes, we're picking you up just fine and dandy.
But I happen to be pretty close. I usually try to call in during the Ask the Pro session. And I was so close that I thought, rather than call in and take a chance on whether or not I could hear you guys asking me questions, I'll just stop for 15 minutes.
There you go. Well, we're honored.
Mighty pleased that you did.
This room today was referred to as the Loser's Lounge.
The Loser's Lounge.
After being set up for failure.
Yeah, I heard all about it.
Nothing like live radio. You fill the palate. So, Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator, Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara. That is one heck of a title, Frank.
Yeah, and I actually stole it from Bill. That used to be what Bill did. So, you know, I just kind of naturally took things over, and you know, it's been a pretty cool ride thus far. You know, a lot of things that I thought were going to be pretty easy, we found out are a lot of work. So, you know, I really thought Bill was taking naps all day, but he was actually working before.
Go figure. Isn't that something? Yeah. How long has it been, Bill, since you handed the reins over to
Well, Frank? Let's see. It was February 27th was my final day on the job, 2021.
Yeah, you've been 2021. I'm sorry, because it'll be going on 2 years this February.
That's right. Yeah, because we went through that period of COVID where I was continuing to work from home, so it's been pretty nice. I have to say, and Frank, I have to say, you're doing a good job too.
Agreed.
I appreciate it.
You know, it's not an easy gig, but it's very satisfying.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get a lot accomplished and make a difference. And, you know, it's important to have this type of a position in the tourism industry. And the outdoors is a great tool in your toolbox of promotions for Western New York.
Oh, 100% right. I mean, I think when you set the stage back, you know, 30-some years ago and taking over this position, you know, we became the envy of the rest of the country. And I hear it all the time. You know, I hear it from different media guys. I hear it from different tourism people. It's, you know, you have what we want to be, or you have what we want to get to as far as outdoor promotions, especially specifically to sport fishing. You know, we've really set up a great program here, and it doesn't hurt that we have probably what I consider the best freshwater fishing in the country. It's you know, these people really, really, really are envious of what we have and what we've been able to do. Very supportive, both Niagara County and Destination Niagara. And you set the, you know, you set up the building blocks of this program, and, you know, it's just been... Sure, I do a few things different, but mostly that foundation's the same, you know, and that's what I think makes me think that you were doing everything, you know, to do the job, you know, like at 100% speed, is the fact that we're pretty much doing, you know, similar stuff that we were doing 2 or 3 years ago.
Sure. And you've done a few different things, a few different directions. I think you're possibly doing a little bit more with outdoor media. Not that you did more in the way of actual people that are coming in, but you're doing more with different people. So you're reaching out to different markets and expanding that whole promotional effort so that we're reaching out and hitting people that might not have known about the outdoor resources that we have here in Western New York. You know, of course, Niagara Falls itself is a worldwide attraction, one of the natural wonders of the world. But from the standpoint of the outdoors that surrounds that, you know, there's always people that we're educating. And what you've done so far is expanded on that. So that's great.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a natural thing. I've had a lot of relationships with a lot of these different media outlets, be it television, radio, TV. And, you know, I just worked on things that I was already doing. I basically took a charter business over 30 years to the point where, you know, I was picking and choosing what it went and where I wanted to fish, and took what I've learned doing that and, you know, just expanded on it into this. So, yeah, I kept a lot of the things same, but some of the things, you know, were different. You know, I'd love to try to get into the saltwater market. I think that they're saltwater guys are fishermen, inevitably, and that's what we want. We want those new markets, those things that maybe other people aren't going after. So my thought was saltwater market. And, you know, I've always had a great relationship with Mark Davis from Big Water Adventures. He's probably the number one saltwater show on the Outdoor Channel. And just thinking about ways to capitalize on that, you know. And it's, boy, when you consider how many anglers there are in saltwater as opposed to freshwater, you know, it's very mind-boggling what the opportunities are.
Sure. And the fact that you have an opportunity to take advantage of the year-round fishing that we have here. And you know, it's pretty much same with saltwater fishing, but there are times when, you know, it's better to come here, you know, whether it's during one of our wonderful summers or even in the dead of winter. You know, yeah, there's always opportunities to be outdoors.
Well, and you think saltwater, you think about, you know, I'm not just specifically saying Florida area, North Carolina, Alabama. I'm talking about the West Coast, too. There, salmon fishing has really taken a turn for the worst out there, you know, and they actually have been closing some rivers to fishing for the salmon and the steelhead. These are fishermen, and they want the opportunity to catch things that they've caught in the past, you know, the trout and salmon, and I think we can offer that. So not only are we going for the warm salt water, we're also looking at the left coast too, and it's you know, I think that it's something that we can grow upon. Not that we're going to forget about everything that we've already done, because boy, it's tough to beat the rubber tire market. We just want to expand on that.
Sure. And the other thing that you really haven't talked about is the fact that, you know, we're talking fishing, but all our outdoor resources, the birding opportunities that we have here, hunting in the fall. You know, there's a lot of things that are starting to happen right now with, you know, this coming Saturday is the opener of the regular pheasant season, and duck season is starting up this Saturday, and wild turkey for the southern tier area, the southern zone. So, you know, those are just some of the things that are going on in addition to the big game hunting that we have going on. So, you know, there's a lot of things happening right now. This is one of those times of year where you have to pick and choose as far as what you're going to do and where you're going to do it. And there isn't a better place than right here in West New York.
Yeah, I think the outdoor opportunities are unlimited here. You know, as you touched on the hunting, but the fishing, it's basically that changeover season where we go from warm water to cold water, and this is a great time to get out there and take advantage of the bass being on a feed, walleye, muskie, pike. I saw some pictures of some guys doing very well in the harbors on pike. There's starting to be some trout showing up in the lower river in addition to the salmon. This tributaries will just keep getting better. It's kind of a pick your poison time of the year, you know. It really, really is.
Sure. Sure, and you know, for example, Mike Residlo, he's always sending me information that I can use to help promote what's going on in the lower Niagara River from shore, and he caught a lake trout the other day. Now, lake trout season is closed, but he's not specifically targeting lakers. He's targeting fish, and you know, he took a quick picture right back into the water, and that's okay. So be cognizant of that. If you catch a lake trout, you know, this is not a time to catch and keep. Yeah. So that, not until December 1st.
And I don't know how many people actually keep them anyways, but they did change the regulation to make it December 1st, to make it, if you do want to keep one, you can after December 1st. And it also corresponds with the Canadian regulation of December 1st, too. So it probably took a little confusion out of the airways there. But it's, you know, you just can't. When you're casting these spinners or casting eggs or running maglips, you just don't know what's going to bite and what's going to be on the end of your line. You can't tell the lake trout not to bite. You know, it just doesn't work that way.
Oh, sure. And for anybody listening out there, the Lower Niagara River is an extremely unique resource. And they've documented that they are getting natural reproduction of lake trout in the Lower Niagara River, which is an extremely rare situation. The DEC and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service have done studies in the Lower River, and they've found fry that have hatched, and they are now documenting the fact that this is a river system that's special. You know, the last time they documented any lake trout that were actually spawning in a river system was up on Lake Superior back in the 1940s. So yep. this is something special that we have here, and we need to take care of it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think lake trout are known as a lake spawner, and they're a reef spawner. They look for chunk rock, things of that nature. And the Lower River fits that bill, and just, you know, add the current. So the substrate's there for them, and they're taking advantage of that. But we'd always like to see that expanded to, you know, the other trout species, be it steelhead, brown trout, king salmon, coho salmon, whatever it may be. You know, we don't get that natural reproduction. Our lake trout are our natural reproduction for trout and salmon. But there's a couple things in the works, and who knows, down the road we might be able to create some more spawning habitat for these other salmonoid species.
Yeah, you know, I've seen some of the studies that are going on right now, and they are creating some spawning habitat, I think, out east in Lake Ontario, and I think off some of the tributaries off of Lake Champlain, tied in with Atlantic salmon.
Yep.
So I think there's some opportunities for us here too, and you know, some great projects that are already going on as far as the pen rearing projects here locally, but, you know, from the standpoint of pilot projects, that tank project has some huge potential. Yep. And I think that, and I know you're involved with it, the opportunities to being able to hold fish longer and maybe some different kinds of fish, like maybe cohos.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I think there's some opportunities there that we can really help the natural process along, and I think that's important.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think the opportunities are unlimited when it comes to, you know, the Lower River in the area, getting more spawning habitat, and if it's even artificially made, you know, then so be it. It's just something we need to do. Down east, they get all these fish planted. We don't get as many fish planted, and we really need to find ways to subsidize the stocking or lack thereof stocking that we're receiving. I'm not complaining. I'm just stating how it is.
Yeah, and it's not easy to create habitat, spawning habitat. And I mean, I've been around for a long time, so I was able to document some of the artificial reef projects that were created here off of Niagara County. There's that artificial reef off of Hopkins Creek between Wilson and Olcott, 25 to 50 feet of water, and that was created through some funding that was put together as a result of the Lake Ontario Pro-Am Salmon Team Tournament. Niagara County Fisheries Development Board was involved with it. LOTSA, Lake Ontario Trout and Salmon Association, was involved with that. And the whole idea behind that was to create some spawning habitat for lake trout. And there was very little habitat that was conducive for that natural reproduction of lake trout. But other species have benefited from it too, like bass and yellow perch. Now, maybe it's time to revive something like that and look at maybe expanding that artificial reef that's in place. But, you know, that's one example that a lot of people seem to have forgotten about because it was so long ago. but, you know, it's still out there.
Yeah, there is some scuttlebutt about possibly doing another artificial reef west of Wilson. But, you know, again, it's just scuttlebutt at this point in time, so you really don't know. So, Bill, having all this free time, have you been out fishing? What have you been up to?
Free time?
Yeah, who has free time? You can't golf 28 hours a day.
Well, you know, I do get out fishing a little bit, and I do get out golfing, and, you know, I have to take care of some things around the house. And
you've been painting the same fence for 3 years, Paul. Bill.
I know. You've been talking to Sandy. But from the standpoint of even the writing, you know, I continue to do a full page every Sunday in the Buffalo News.
Which is pretty unique, I'll just point out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, when everybody else is downscaling their outdoor reporting, the Buffalo News has actually upgraded it. And they give me, you know, seems like more and more space every Thursday for the fishing beat. And I've had as much as a half page on Thursday, you know, leading into the weekend to give people an update on what's going on so you can pick and choose again. But, you know, Dan Ladd, the editor at New York Outdoor News, he also is putting a little bit more work on my shoulders, too. And he knows I'm retired. And, hey, you know, hey, I need help with this. I need help with this. What about this? And, you know, it just... It takes time to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I also have to pick and choose.
Yeah.
Am I going to go golfing or am I going to finish that story?
Well, let's not forget about pickleball.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true. Tuesday and Thursday. Yeah. And I kind of snuck in Sunday morning, too. So
nice.
You know, it's a good activity, a little cardio. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Now, I know that you've probably sniffed out that the fact that they are catching perch up in Lake Erie, so I'm surprised that you're not trying to set up your trip up there with somehow, some way sneaking on somebody's boat.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm supposed to go Friday.
I knew it. After I heard perch was in, I was like, Bill is going to try to set this up so he sneaks on somebody's boat.
Yeah, I've been keeping up on those reports and as part of the fishing beat as well. But, you know, I have a good friend out of Marilla that keeps me updated every time he goes out. And Ned Leibrock with Catching Dreams, he wanted to sneak up there and try to get some perch. And he was planning on Tuesday and Friday of this week. Well, Tuesday didn't work out, but... hopefully the winds aren't too bad, and we're talking about Friday. So
good. Good for you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that'll be just in time for next Tuesday's little pre-Thanksgiving feast.
Well, you know, they'll probably be frozen by then, and I wouldn't be able to bring any of those in, but Dale's got plenty of walleye.
I know. That's a typical Hiltz move right there. It just so happens that they're all frozen together, and it might take me a year to unseparate them. Yeah.
It's funny because my last bag of perch I cooked up about 3 weeks ago, a month ago, and Sandy wanted to cook them up a little bit different. So I did that. I did what she asked, and she says, you know, I never realized how good these were.
So what'd you do?
Now I got marching orders.
What'd you do? I mean, you can't leave us in suspense.
That's right.
Oh, you mean how I cooked them?
Yeah.
So normally I'll dry them off and put flour on the outside, dip them in egg, and put panko breading, and then deep fry them in oil.
Probably normal. Yeah. A lot of people do it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure. So this time just did dip an egg and some breadcrumbs.
Okay.
And cooked it up.
DiCamillo's breadcrumbs, Bill?
No, they weren't DiCamillo's.
Tried with DiCamillo's.
But what we did was we just used a little bit of coconut oil and just did them on the stove rather than going outside and deep frying them. So a little bit healthier for you.
Yeah.
And they came out great.
See that?
You know, so
we're full of recipes. You're like the Martha Stewart of WLVL. Yeah.
Well, tonight it's pork chops and pork tenderloin on the charcoal grill.
I knew you always like to dabble in the cooking aspect of life. There's no doubt about it. I think you and Rich down at the office used to have some pretty thorough conversations.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And thanks to Rich, I was able to get a pretty awesome retirement gift from the office, you know, so that I continue to use. I did some ribs 2 weekends ago and nice little charcoal smoker, Masterbuilt.
Oh, yep. I knew that was all you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They were gonna rename it after you. After. You've been using it so much.
Yeah,
awesome. So, real quickly, if you just want to touch on the column that was in the paper this week, and we always like the fact that we're able to get ourselves updated, and as far as what's going on in the fishing and hunting world, but also the dates. This past weekend, you had a column in the paper about the Ohio walleye incident down there. What's your take on it? I know that you gave a lot of other people's opinions and what was going on with different tournaments, but what is your take on the whole scenario down there?
Well, it's a black eye for the competition fishing community, no question about it, and the big. The big unknown is how many times they've done it through the years. And if you look at a laundry list of how many different contests that they've been involved with and won.
I heard that their lifetime earnings were in the millions, like $2 or $3 million. It's crazy.
And, the last year when they got caught in one of the contests, I don't remember if it was the Fall Brawl or the Walleye.
I think it was frenzy. Two of them that they actually won on the same.
They won them on the same fish, but they didn't pass the polygraph. One of the two didn't pass the polygraph.
The other one they did.
So they won one of them with that. I think it was 12.77 pound walleye. And who knows if it was 12.77 pounds or not? Allegedly they had these weights in the fish from the tournament 2 weekends ago, and. It's just you couldn't believe when they were slicing open the belly of the fish, the tournament director slicing open the belly of the fish in front of these cameras, people filming off their phones and pulling out these huge lead weights.
Eight ounce weights is what, the half a pound, half pound weights.
But, how many were there? There was 9, 10. And then when you throw in the additional stuff that was in there, I heard fillets from other walleye. Yeah. I even heard a pair of scissors.
I heard there were pliers.
Well, either way.
Yeah, it's crazy. Do you see some of the stuff on the internet now? They're pulling out, like they're going through a junk drawer, pulling this stuff out of these fish. It was crazy. But, yeah.
It was brutal.
Yeah, it's a black eye all the way.
Yeah. So, I think for the most part, guys do a good job that run tournaments and derbies, and they realize that they're under a microscope, that they need to be above board as much as possible, and they might have to even take additional steps, come up with some sort of a magnetometer to measure if there's any metal in fish. And Dave Chilson told me that at one point he was worried about the metal or weights in fish, and he got the word out that he was going to buy one of those instruments to be able to detect metal in fish, and right away he had comments back, well, I guess we'll have to use things like rocks and marble that couldn't be detected. So, you just don't know what these guys are thinking. Some people are just, they're looking for ways to bend the rules, not saying that's wrong, but I ran that Lake Ontario Pro-Am Salmon Team Tournament for over 30 years, and it seemed like every year we had to change another rule because of somebody trying to manipulate the system.
Yep.
And that's unfortunate, but that's the way things are. And, we've gone so far as to put observers on boats for other teams. And even that hasn't worked 100% effective. So, you just do the best you can. There's a lot of people that really enjoy competition fishing. It's just unfortunate there's some people that that don't want to play by the rules.
Yeah, and I think no matter what you do, I can remember 30 years ago, the Niagara Wranglers Bass Contest, Dan Woodard won it every year, and people were saying that he was doing something wrong, so they sent one of the Honest Abes out with him fishing, Richie Rotella, and guess what? He won it again, right in front of him. So
I was with him one time, too.
Yeah,
it might have even been with Rich.
Yeah, it's you know, I mean, there's going to be always people going to, you know, going to be a naysayer or going to be, hey, this guy has to be cheating. That's not always the case, but when this does occur, it just puts that, you know, back in people's minds that, man, there's no way that these people are catching these fish all the time and that fish weighs that much. And, you know, and that was one of the reasons that we went to a measuring system in the Fish Odyssey. That was one of the changes that we made since you've left the office. You know, and then you're thinking, you know, what can they do to, you know, take in and bend the rules with this? It's crazy. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have seen some things, not here, but in other states. I think Texas had a situation where a guy was using a tail of a fish and adding it to another fish for additional length because the tail had like a little short extension of an inch or so, which, you know, would put them into a different winnable category.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, again, you're always looking for guys that will manipulate that system. I heard the measuring board. It was missing an inch, I think.
Yeah, somebody did that. And that's that's why we got rid of anything homemade. I mean, it's got to be commercially made. And yeah, there's people. If there's a will, there's a way. No matter what it is, and you bring up the point of the fish having a little bit longer tail. I actually saw, you know, they showed it to me, different fish that were being weighed in for the Fish Odyssey a couple of years ago. The fish actually had a little longer piece of a tail.
Sure.
You know, and it gave him about a half an inch, but it was there. It was natural. It wasn't like he manipulated it, but guess what? It probably gave somebody an idea to go get some crazy glue and do it on their own.
Yep.
You know, it's nuts.
Yeah. That's... You just never know.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Hey, folks, for those of you who may be just joining us, you are listening to the world's greatest outdoor show here at WLVL with our very own Frank Campbell, who's the Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara. And as a very special guest, Bill Hiltz Jr. stopped by because he was just going by. And he says, what the heck? Might as well stop in rather than get the lousy cell phone. Connection. So if you want to join the conversation, 433-1433 is the number. And just some guys are telling some pretty good fish stories over there.
Yeah, I think Bill stopped by because number one, free coffee, and number two, a chance to abuse me over here.
I haven't really been abusing
you.
No,
you've been good. I appreciate it.
We still got 15 minutes, Bill.
You know, I'm not the one that put himself on the spot by saying that everybody's out to get him.
I said they set me up for failure. John asked these questions on Wake Up Niagara back in 1942. Who was Fred Flintstone's cousin's wife? I don't know that. I wasn't around in 42. I think that they were thinking about when you were here.
Ooh.
I'm only kidding, Bill.
1942. Let me think.
Yeah, well, those are the type of questions. So I was mumbling to myself, didn't know that we were still live. This guy set me up for failure every week. Well, we were still live. But, oh, well.
Gotta love hot mics.
Yep, exactly. 100%. 100%, exactly.
There was one thing that I wanted to mention, too. And last week, we lost somebody that meant a lot to not just the outdoor community, but also the sporting community. And that was former Environmental Conservation Officer Dick Lang.
Oh, yes.
He passed away. And I knew Dick for pretty much his whole tenure. And he was a special guy. He was hard-nosed. He was firm but fair.
Yep.
He would go out of his way to help you if you needed help with something. I utilized his services more than just one occasion with that Lake Ontario Pro-Am Salmon Team Tournament I told you about. And he was a mentor of youth, and he was also in the Wrestling Hall of Fame, which I didn't realize he was in the Hall of Fame. I knew he was a coach for Newfane and for Roy Hart. But, you know, amazing, amazing history, background in outdoor sports and the sporting world. And we'll certainly miss him for sure. He was 81 years young, and unfortunately he had a battle with Parkinson's the last almost two decades of his life. But that was another thing that he just continued to battle, and you know, he was a special kind of guy.
He sure was. Hey guys, we got a caller. Good morning, caller. You are talking to Frank and Bill in the World's Greatest Outdoor Show. What's your question or comment?
Oh, I love your show. I am an avid fisherman, and you haven't mentioned at North Forest Rod and Gun Club, and they have an excellent program for women only. But the reason I'm calling is because Skip Hartman was a very good friend of mine for many years, and he was an avid conservationist and outdoors person, and if you knew him, you would know that.
Yeah, we couldn't. I couldn't agree with you more, and I think Bill would add to that 100%.
Thanks for the call, caller. We have another caller coming in. Good morning, caller. You are on WLVO, the world's greatest outdoor show. What's your comment or question?
Hello.
Hello.
I live on the canal, and I've always listened to Bill Hemp Jr. And, excuse me, I have a little bit of a cough, so I apologize for that. But I think that fishing, I live along the canal, teaches kids patience, and I never caught a big fish until I was out on the Wilson Harbor, and I was like, oh my goodness, I caught a large fish. And my husband said, I said, no, I want to catch and release and let it go back out in there. But fishing is a lost art. Like, children, if you have any little children, take them fishing. Just take them fishing. Teach them patience. Teach them that everything is not just in a glimpse of an eye. You have to wait. You have to have patience. So I appreciate Bill Hope Jr. coming in there. And I always appreciate you, Eric. So that goes without saying. But, yeah, fishing, we live in an area where people don't realize how blessed we are to have all these lakes. Lake Ontario, Lake Erie, the canal. There are so many fish out there. Sheepheads, like, I have not heard. I caught the biggest sheephead when I was, like, 4 years old, and my dad had to help me reel it in on the canal bank. And that's the memories, because at the end of the day, you can have possessions, but you cannot replace the memories. That's all I'm saying.
Very well put, caller. All right, thank you so much.
Spend some time.
All right, good call, huh?
Yeah, I have to agree with her 100%. I mean, the canal's a great place to start fishing and keep fishing. And, you know, yes, it does. There's no immediate gratification sometimes, and it definitely teaches you patience. I mean, I'm sure that you can add to that, Bill.
Oh, yeah. You know, that whole patience thing is important, especially if you're fishing with Frank. Because patience is needed as you wait for a fish to be caught, because I've gone with them many times where we've waited and waited and waited.
I honestly give Bill the bad bait sometimes just to see if he is patient.
That's true, but but when he does it to my grandson, you know, that's just not fair.
Listen, Parker is a excellent young man, a great fisherman, and he does have patience. So I know this for a fact. I've been out with him a few times, and he's always done quite well. And you know, he represents what all the kids should be, and you know what the parents should be striving for. And that's, you know, the kid loves being out there, and he educates himself on different fish, different tactics, different areas. I mean, at one point in time, he may be the guy that replaces me at the rate.
That
we're
could
going.
Very well be. He's a good kid. I want to expand on what that lady called in prior to our previous call, Mary, I believe it was.
Yes,
but number one, she spoke about Skip Hartman, and that was one of the guys I was thinking about when I was elaborating a little bit on that artificial reef project. It was because of Skip that artificial reef project even got started, and he was the chairman for the Nyack County Fisheries Development Board for a long time. He was recognized nationally through the National Sea Grant Board, and Frank is the guy that took over for Skip as the chairman of that fisheries board. And then I also wanted to talk a little bit about that Lady Shoot and Hoot program, the North Forest Rod and Gun Club's Lady Shoot and Hoot. She's absolutely right, because it gets ladies out there. It gets them feeling comfortable learning about the shooting sports, learning about firearm safety, and they get together over at that North Forest Rod and Gun Club. It's over on Old Niagara Road in Lockport here. And every second Saturday of the month, usually around 1 o'clock, they get together and they pick a different shooting discipline. I think this past Saturday it was trap and pistol. And if you want to find out more information, give Colleen Gaskill a call at 628-9023, and you can find out more information about how to get involved with that ladies program. I know there's usually a little fee involved to participate in that program, but they also offer free ammunition for whatever discipline you're going to be learning. So, you know, it's a great program for the ladies, and it starts at actually age 12. If you have a daughter that you want to bring out, or a granddaughter, you know, you can do that, and you can both learn together.
Bill, I think one thing that I'd like to mention is, if you're ever looking for something like this to do with your grandkids, kids, be it, you know, male or female, a lot of times you can find that information in your weekly calendar in the Buffalo Evening News, and that's how we draw a lot of our, newsworthy calendar items, is right out of that. So if they go to the Buffalo News, I believe it's on Sundays, and look
yes,
at that calendar, you will find that information on things like the Shoot and Hoot, which I think offers a great opportunity for women in the outdoors. You give people plenty to do, or plenty of opportunity to learn about these things. So thank you for that.
Sure. No, I just wanted to point that out, because it's not only the ladies program, but also Skip Hartman. You know, we're losing a lot of these guys that have been legends and the prime movers and shakers through the years. And, you know, whether it's Skip or Dick Lang or any of these other guys that were they're irreplaceable, and hopefully we'll get some young blood or new blood moving in to help take over some of these programs.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that's lacking. It's trying to get the young people involved, but there are movements on the way to do such things as that. As a matter of fact, I have a meeting with the New York Power Authority next week, where they're going to try to get some kids more involved in the fishing world. So that's that's exactly what we need. We need people to step up and organizations to step up, and we also have the kids have to have the kids take advantage of it. And sometimes that's having the parents drive them there or signing them up for these things. So keep an eye out for things in the paper or under Bill's column, and there's plenty of opportunities out there to get your kids involved. No doubt about it. Be it fishing contests on certain weekends, or Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, whatever it may be, there is opportunity out there, and they really need to take advantage of it to keep these things going.
Yeah, speaking of the New York Power Authority, you did mention this morning that the fishing platform, as well as the reservoir access, like off of Upper Mountain Road or Reservoir State Park, that usually closes around December 1st, and that's their target date. However, if we get some good weather, they will keep things open until we start getting some of that adverse weather condition like the ice or snow or anything like that. Hopefully we don't get that too early this year. But that's their target date is December 1st, and that includes both the fishing platform and access to the reservoir. So I just wanted to reemphasize that.
Yeah, I think they do a great job of keeping things open, and I think that they do such until it's a safety issue where you have freezing water on the rails or the floor or the, you know, whatever it may be. So kudos to them. They offer an excellent opportunity, and it's a great place to get out there fishing. I'm just not talking about the platform. I'm also talking about the reservoir. There's some very good fish to be caught in that reservoir, be it perch, bass, you know, anything that swims in the river is available up there. So, you know, the Power Authority does a great job in offering those opportunities up there to get out there and fish. No doubt.
Fantastic. Well, we still got about 5 minutes left, fellas. 10? You want 10? I'll give you 10 if you want.
I'm only kidding.
Folks, you still have a couple of minutes. If you want to sneak in under the wire, 433-1433, if you have any questions or comments.
I wanted to give a quick question to Bill. I'm already seeing some early sea ducks, you know, come out into Lake Ontario and in the Niagara River, be it, different type of scoters or things of that nature. What have you heard about the migration and, the goose migration, the duck migration? Is it on par? Is it early? Have you heard anything about it?
I've not heard where birds are at this current state of things. Now, based on previous research, we know that ducks are starting to arrive. You know, there's different kinds of ducks that arrive at different times. Duck season opens on this coming Friday, but there was an early youth season, October 1st and 2nd, for our region, the western region. And there are some encouraging signs going on right now because the mallard numbers are actually up a little bit. And that's encouraging because they've been really worried about mallard populations, and we're looking at possibly increasing the bag limit for mallards moving forward in 2023-2024. Now, we can just keep our fingers crossed as they continue to conduct these studies or research for the Atlantic Flyway. So for this year, you're still only allowed two mallards and only one can be a hen. So, you know, that's one consideration. You'd mentioned Canada geese. Now, Canada geese also had some severe population problems. In fact, one year they had no natural reproduction because of the weather. These are the flight birds. Now you're thinking, Canada geese, man, they're all over the place. Well, those are resident birds. Those are birds that stay here all year. What they're worried about is the migratory population that come down from northern Canada. And those are the ones that continue to go south. So goose season doesn't open until October 22nd. They wait a week after the duck season because they want those flight birds to make it past New York, because we already have all these resident birds. So they're very encouraged by what they're seeing as far as population levels. There are some areas, not here where we are in western New York, but just to the east of us in the Finger Lakes area, what they call the west central and east central areas, where you can only take one bird per day per person, which, you know, somebody's not going to go out hunting just for that.
No.
So those bag limit numbers could be more liberalized moving forward if these population levels continue to increase. It's not the first time we've had situations like this. We've had to have restrictive bag harvests, but it looks like things are turning around again, and we could see an increase in that Finger Lakes area. And for us here, we're still at five birds for the south area. So, you know, that's just a quick update as far as waterfowl.
No, we appreciate it, Bill. We always look forward to you dropping by or calling in, and you make it just that much better.
Thanks, Frank.
Sure.
Keep up the good work.
What a great conversation today, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Final words? So we got about 45 seconds, Frank.
Yeah, I say get out there and fish. Take advantage of what's out there. It's the season of plenty. You have trout, salmon, walleye, bass, pike, muskie, and it's all good fishing right now, in addition to some possible upcoming duck hunting and archery seasons in swing. So, you know, the weather's still beautiful. Take advantage of it, because guess what's coming? Winter.
Sure is. Bill, anything, last thoughts?
Yeah, please ask John why he's always setting Frank up for failure.
Folks, this has been the world's greatest outdoor show here on WLVO, 1340 AM, 105.3 FM. Stick around for Fox News and all the other great programming here on WLVL.